ovation. Give the Holy Spirit a standing ovation. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for our ensemble. And God is remain standing. God is an awesome God. And he's not just an awesome God on Sunday mornings. He's an awesome God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Hallelujah. Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait to come in here to realize he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God for 7 days a week. And he's an awesome God because he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on that cross for you and me. And our past, present, and future is on that cross. And God wants us to properly put our faith in that, and then the Holy Spirit will work with us in our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit will work with us in our struggles. Because don't you think that I don't know every one of you going through some type of struggle right now. And but I'm telling you, I know Jesus. And when I stand up here, I'm speaking from experience. Because I know what God has done for me. And I'm going to be talking about what God has done for me and how far he has brought this woman and I together in this ministry and how we have been attacked over the years. And I know my God, my God. And I'm not talking about the God of the Quran either. I'm talking about the God of the Bible, people. And I bind the spirit of confusion that the devil is trying to bring in the body of Christ. He's trying to bring confusion in the body of Christ. He's trying to bring division in the body of Christ. But it's not going to happen in this building. Yes, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, people. Yeah, I was in the military, and I'm not trying to run this church according to the American government, according to Uncle Sam, but this is what Jesus is. I am a soldier. And then being a soldier, there's some suffering and pain that come along with it. Stop murmuring and complaining and think about what you can do for the body of Christ. We are a bunch of spoiled Americans used to having our way. We're what I call microwave society. I'm talking about in the church. Everything's got to be now. I want it now. I got to have it now. There's a time when you have to wait. And while you're waiting, God is trying to build your character if you let him. Hey! Hey! God's trying to build your character. Stop poisoning your future by dwelling on your past. Your past sins it all put in the sea of forgetfulness. The devil make you feel like you're not going to make it because of your past. Once you repent and get your life right with God, it's over with. Stop talking about it. Yeah, people, church folk will come to you. I know when. Well, that's their problem. But I know where I am now. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of things I have up here. Yes. I'm going to break down that banner this morning in a few minutes. But I remember, remain standing. All of you need to exercise anyway. It's good for us. My adopted father, who I later learned, was my real father, he and his sneaky self. But he used to sing in the quartet. Ensemble, thank you for that song. And I thank you, Sister Tall, for the message Friday night about love. That's something that's missing in the body of Christ. And the only reason why it's missing, because we give into that old sin nature and we want to have our way. But we got to do what God wants us to do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, Sister Ingham, you know I can't sing, but I'm just going to sing a portion of this scriptures because that's why I love my God. And then I'm going to get to the message. He'll understand, and he'll say, well done. Now, I know some of you are used to the contemporary music. That's all right if Jesus is in it. But a lot of things I see going on in this music world today, Jesus is not in it. The Holy Spirit is not in it. Now, and just I want you to listen to the words in this. If when you give, go right ahead, honey. And see, that's the beauty of it. I heard Sister Ingham say, now I'm going to start over again. Don't even worry, but God sees our heart, people. See, that God sees our heart. And you know what? Before I sit down, Elder Kennedy, remind me, I meant to do it at the beginning. We're going to touch and agree as a church for an organist, another organist, and to leave my wife. And the organist that we have, he was a good man, but he had to go for reasons. And we're also going to touch and agree restoration for more laborers in the church that will come from the east and west, north and south. People that are teachable, not gullible, but teachable.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus. I'm praying, and that's it. We're going to touch and agree on that today. And I'm praying for more young people like my Sister Ingram's granddaughter over there, that girl over there, Sister Ingram's granddaughter right there. Okay. That more young people, and I want to say this to you, young man, you be encouraged. Because you're going to be something. And I'm not standing here telling you this so to make you come back to this church. God just showed me that you're going to be something. Don't you give up. And don't let your family, nobody, cause you to look back and concentrate on what's going on in your life. You just focus on Jesus. You're saved, right? You've accepted Jesus, right? Praise God. Give him a hand clap for that. Praise you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes some people do things, leaders and everybody do things to get you back. I got to be nice to them. No, I'm just me. I'm going to be nice to you whether you come or not. In the name of Jesus. Let me put it this way. We is going to be nice. Okay, let me go with this. If when you give the best of your service, listen to the words, telling the world that the Savior has come. Be not dismayed when men don't believe you. Oh my, he'll understand and he'll say, well, I wonder who this he is. He talking about God and his son Jesus. And then there's another verse in here, misunderstood, the Savior of sinners hung on the cross, which you don't hear much of anymore. He was God's only son. Oh, hear him calling his Father in heaven. Listen to that. Not my will, but thine be. And listen to this last verse. Well, there's another, but it said, but if you try and fail in your trying, hands sore and scarred from the work you've begun. Restoration, you listen. Take up the cross. Run quickly to meet him. And he'll say, a job well done. Are you listening to me, people? A job well done. Father, I thank you. And I praise you for your will being done, Lord. And I pray, Father, we're not an entertaining church, but we're a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, we have our blind spot, but God, Holy God, I thank you. And Jesus, I thank you for leaving your Holy Spirit to help us, dear God, in our blind spots, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for being there and helping us in our failures, helping us and preserving us and keeping us, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, you help me to do a brief teaching. An immortal soul is beyond all price. An immortal soul is beyond all price. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, you anoint the ears and of the listeners, Lord, that they don't focus on me, but they focus on what you've given me for them, because every person in here is going through something. But we got to get our eyes off of our problems and our circumstances and seek you more in prayer, dear God. Seek you more in fasting and prayer, seeking you more instead of murmuring and complaining. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Turn your Bibles. Go right ahead. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The battle is won. Before, while you're standing, I want you to turn your Bibles. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, glory. Thank you for your love, dear God. Thank you for your strength, dear God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We're not here to impress anybody or look at our clothes. We're here, Lord, to praise you and honor you. Thank you, God, for our clothes. Thank you, Father God, for the blessings. But, dear God, we're here to bless you. Bless your name, dear God. Oh, Roshanda. Father, I thank you for the remnant of Christians in small, medium, and mega churches. I thank you for that small, remnant that's really in that narrow gate serving you and keeping America together. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 1. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to read the scriptures, but I might have to shoot on it next week. I'm not sure yet, but this is where I'm going to. And I want you to look at the 12th verse. I'm going to read verses 12 through 19, and then I want you to look also in that same section. We're going to look at 27 through 37. Just bear with me. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to read it in another. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your love. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And after we read that, I'm trying to find it in another Bible, so because I didn't have all of it written down. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just bear with me. All who have verse 12, say amen.
Amen.
All right. It says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And I go back, Sister Ingram, 40 years. Even when we got married and I was acting crazy. And how God had his finger on me even then through you and your family. So that, look at verse 13, so that it has become evident that the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. In other words, he's saying, I'm witnessing to the guards now. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Speak the word of God without fear.
Amen.
Too many Christians sitting up in buildings on Sunday morning, scared. Concentrate on the problem. Being entertained. Emotionalism is taking over. But I'm going to let you know right now, don't you fear nobody but God. You have Jesus, and he's the one can help you share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Look at verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. There were preachers that were preaching. They weren't anti-Christ, but they were jealous of Paul.
Yes.
They were jealous of him and what he was doing. And the crowd and the wit and the souls that were being saved. And ever since Sister Ingram, God put us on this 16 and a half acres. And you know, the battles that we have gone through and sometimes yet have to go through. Because the devil is mad. And he knows we're about souls.
Amen.
And then 16 says, I think it's 16, isn't it?
Yeah.
The former preached Christ from selfish ambition. Not sincerely, supposedly to add affliction to my chain. Yeah, they were preaching Jesus Christ. They were preaching the word of God, but they were coming up against Paul because they were jealous of him.
Yeah.
They didn't like him.
That's
Oh, I know how Paul felt now. Woo! Look at 17. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. No matter what this man is going through, I'm going through it, and I'm glad I'm going through it because it's made me stronger in Christ so I can be able to tell somebody out there about Jesus. And look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He was letting them know. He was letting us know. Well, they didn't like me. They were at least they were preaching Christ. And in this I rejoice. He says, in this I rejoice. Now he wasn't complaining. He wasn't knocking them, but they were tearing him apart. Yes, and will rejoice. Look at 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Through your prayer, he was talking about those people that were with him, through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Now look at verse 27. I'm just skipping a little bit. In that 19th verse, that's one of my favorite areas. Right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. But while I'm living, I'm going to do what God called me to do. Well, you understand what I'm saying? Because you know what? I have an idea what heaven's like. You know, I was reading the other day, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I understand the streets are going to be paved with gold. And you know what? My head might be big, but God got a crown. Wait. And people, I enjoy doing it this way, but let me tell you something. It's the word, and when we leave here, God's got something greater for us. That's why he says, set your heart on the things above eternity. Don't set your heart on things down here. Things down here are temporal. And we modern Christians, we American Christians got so spoiled in churches, and we're acting just like the world. Oh, look at my suit. Oh, look at my new car. There's nothing wrong with that, but many people are worshiping that instead of God and his son Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit. Look at verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, those of you who don't know what the gospel is Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. That's the gospel. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in a way terrified by your adversity. Oh, Lord, walking around mad and terrified because of your people that's come up against you and all this. I've been there. I know what it's like. And the devil would do anything. He likes to mess with your mind. Say, yes, he does, brother. And let me tell you something. Good Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. And then look at the 29, which I want you to see. For to you, it has been granted behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to have fun. Suffer for whose sake? For his sake. Pride is killing most church folk. Black, white, whatever. Pride, look at me, who I is. Family pride, individual pride, pride. No relationship with Jesus. Lord, have mercy. You may be seated. Now that banner, I put that banner up about 2 or 3 years ago. But you know what? This is my first scripture I memorized when I came back to the Lord at age 35. I stand on that. Sister Rita, I don't know whether you remember it or not, but I had this sign up in the stairway when we had the ministry in the home. And a lot of people look at it and see, we got to get out of self. Listen, I have been to college. Your degree don't mean nothing if Jesus is not in the center of it. You can have 10 degrees, gone to 50 Bible schools, and then that sin nature, and letting that sin nature just take over. The problem in most, I don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C. That's one of the reasons why a lot of most people don't like me, because I'm like Jesus, I'm colorblind. I'm not in the stupid black movement. Yes, I'm going to say it again. And I'm not in the stupid white movement. I'm in one movement, the movement of Jesus Christ. And most people don't like me for that. But that's all right, because I'm not here to preach, to please anybody. I'm here to teach the word, preach and teach the word about love. My God, love, 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 love. And you, my God, look at this. And then I'm going to go to the banner. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to be able to do it or not, because see, you don't know what I'm going through. Be steadfast no matter what. No matter what. Unmovable. Unmovable, people. Yeah, but you know, you don't know how I feel. That's the problem. Most church folk, they go on their feelings. And you know what? I'll do that some other time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Every human being that's professing to be a Christian, are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Or are you up murmuring and complaining about you? What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Are you truly born? A truly born again Christian is going to grow in God's grace and knowledge in God's grace. That's what a true Christian is going to do. Are you growing in the Lord so you can be what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? An immortal soul is beyond all price. There's no trouble too deep. No trouble too great, no humiliation too deep, no suffering too severe, no love too strong, no labor too hard, no expense too large, but that it is worth it in the effort to win a soul. But I want to be, I'm cool. And I'm not just talking about young teenagers and adults. There's people in their 50s and 60s trying to be cool. I got it together. Yes, ma'am, I got it together. I'm cool. Cool. You better watch it cool. You might end up in hell. Now, I realize we have carnal Christians. I realize that. But it's amazing how, and I can't put anybody in heaven or hell, but it's a lot of stuff going on in churches today that's not of the Bible, people. And that's why this man and that woman, people can't stand. Now, I'm not saying everybody. And I'm going to stand up like a soldier in the name of Jesus. And look what it says. Abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in... My labor is not in vain. Praise you, Jesus. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. In well-doing. Don't let us not grow weary in well-doing. In due season. God is a seasonal God. You think it's going to happen right now? No. Restoration, you think it's going to happen? No. God is a seasonal God. He's omnipotent. All-powerful. And that power is in us, people.
Yes, it is.
That power is in us.
Yes, it is.
My God. And what? He's omniscient. All-knowing. I often tell people I might be stupid, as I don't know, but I know somebody who's very, very intelligent, and I'm getting a little bit of his wisdom every day in the Word of God. How many of you sitting out here opening up your Bibles daily? Come here, man. Come here, you. Come here. Just come here. Don't be afraid of me. I know I'm ugly and mean, look mean looking. Come here. You know what? That just touched my heart, what you just did. Now, I said, how many of you? Now, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect either. I've gotten mad, want to fight sometimes. You know what? But I can't do it. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I just asked, how many read the Bible? And his hand went up. And you were sincere. And if you keep on going the way you're going, brother, you're going to be somebody. You understand? Because, see, my adoptive family used to tell me, you're going to be nothing, you old bastard kid. Yeah, but I went through all those things as a boy, 15, 16, 17, in my 20s. Went through all those things. But God had my, you may be seated, God had my back, brother. Good Lord, give God. I don't mean to pick on you, but you just did something, brother. It touched my heart. See, studying the Bible is very, very, very important. Now, let me tell you something. You remember when Jesus hung up there on that cross?
Oh, I love him.
Do you remember that? But there were two thieves up there. And one of them was like most church folk.
look mean and put Jesus down. And you know what? Now, you might not believe this. It's amazing how many churches and pulpits are beginning to question Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. It's happening. And you know what? A lot of people are saying a lot of nice and good things about Jesus, but they have a problem with his atonement. This is where the problem is, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Be very, very careful. Now, I believe that there's a possibility that you can lose your salvation. The reason why I say that, a lot of people are walking away from Jesus and what he's done for us.
That's right.
And when you walk away from Jesus and what he's done for us, and you don't have to put your faith properly in that, you're going to have a problem. Now, like I said, I can't put anybody in heaven or hell. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You better get your heart right if it's not right with God. And you know what? Just like I'm a little hungry right now, you're going to eat your chicken this afternoon. You're going to eat your greens, macaroni and cheese. You're going to eat all these things for the flesh, the vitamins, the minerals, okay? Calcium, all those other things, okay? For the body. But that soul, the inner man needs to be fed. The inner man needs to be fed. How do you feed it? That's the reason why people think they can just go and live any kind of way. And preacher, and most, and I'm going to tell you something. No, this preacher has, I'm not perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. Most preachers don't want to say anything, don't want to preach the truth, because they're afraid they'll lose the congregation. That's the problem. Well, you lose the congregation, money, like I hear some, I've heard some, money ain't coming in. You know what? We've had problems with money, still might have problems, but you know what? My Bible tells me, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God. And what is he going to do? And he shall direct your path. Good Lord of mercy. And don't you be wise in your own. Do you understand what the Holy Spirit is saying, people? Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Wait on him. Wait on him. I'm proud. You know, I admire my Sister Ingram's granddaughter back there. And there's two girls. There's a little girl back there. I don't know. I forget the name of that. Ricky's there. But you know, I thank God for the parent that really, sure, it's not easy raising kids, but that stick with the children. I think my granddaughter, no, not my granddaughter, Sister Ingram's granddaughter, get ready. She knows I'm just teasing. Get ready to start school. That's all right. But I always tell her, you make sure you put Jesus first.
That's right. So important.
The seed has been put in you.
So important.
See, I didn't know all that. But you know what? And I'm not saying that everybody has to go to a college. I'm not saying that.
That's right.
But God has a way. He has a plan for every person,
yes,
young and old, in
yes,
here.
He does.
And I want to say this again. Stop putting yourself down.
Amen.
Stop putting yourself down. Well, I'm getting old now. Stop saying all that stuff. I say it sometimes too. But you know what? I like to think positive things in the name of Jesus, people. You talk pain and all that. I know what that's all about. But I thank God for his strength and I'm able to move around. So many times we can concentrate, and I'm not saying that we're human, we can be concerned about physical problems in our body, whatever, that's understandable. But don't let the devil cause you to focus so much on that that you forget your mission.
That's right.
And especially, and you know what, maybe you might not be able to walk around. You might not be able to do too much, but what you can do is start interceding for the body of Christ sitting down. Oh God, I pray today for the church, the body of Christ. I pray for every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, pastor, teacher. Dear God bless. And see, a lot of times people think they got to be you got to be young, and no, everybody has a place. And as I was saying to you earlier, I didn't get to finish it. The man that hung on the cross, the other guy that hung on the cross, thank you, Holy Spirit. He didn't read the Bible. He didn't go to church. He didn't sing in the choir. He did none of those things. He accepted Jesus Christ in his heart, and God took him right away. God took him right away. But why do you think he has allowed us to live? He wants us to study the Bible so we can be instruments and go and tell somebody about Jesus. We've got, so I was reading about denominationalism, how so many times, how it all started years ago, and the devil has used denominationalism to cause racism and hatred and all these other things. I like what Martin Luther King said. He said, there's more segregation on Sunday morning than it is any other time. But I thank God for whether it's all black, all white, or integrated church, as long as we're seeking Jesus like we're supposed to, that's the most important thing.
Yes, it is.
Now, what does it say? There's no trouble too great. I wonder, what does he mean by trouble? I wonder what he means by trouble. Anybody here know what trouble is?
Amen.
There's no humiliation too deep. Well, they've talked about me. Made me look bad, slandered me, trying to tear down my character. And a lot of these people that's doing it in churches, oh, they're raising their hand, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, and walking around in so much hatred.
I did it for 30 years.
Oh, my God. Putting so much hatred. Look at this. No suffering too severe. I wonder if anybody in here is suffering. I wonder if it's anybody in here suffering. Are you going through right now? I'm suffering. I don't think I'm going to make it. But my God tells me, 23rd Psalm. I know that one. I don't know anymore. The Lord is my shepherd. Who's my Lord? Jesus. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Then there's another section in there. Even though I may go through the valley of shadow of death, as long as I carry my spiritual pistol with me, even though I may go through the valley of shadow of death, I ain't going to fear no evil. Why is he saying that? Because God is with me.
Yes, he is.
Get yourself out of that state. You know, a lot of times people, some of you right out here, you're going through because you're not being obedient to God. God said, forget not to assemble yourselves together. That's what the Bible says.
Yes, that's right.
The Bible clearly says that. Forget not to assemble yourselves together. But we're so spoiled as Americans, we won't do it our way. I remember, and Sister Ingram, I know you remember it well too. See, this is the type of person we've been. And I remember years ago, Sister Rita and my wife and so many others, she was part of the Shamila family. And I have always, even before I came back to the Lord, I've always wanted to help the elderly people, help poor people. And we used to go to Philly, did it for years. I'd hook up my trailer to my truck. Maria Shamila, her son, he built the thing. We'd take soup over there to the streets of Philly.
Beautiful.
See? And then I think about the prisons. Since 1989, we've been going down to the prisons because of what I experienced in the military. I have had a heart for military, and I'm only telling you this, people, not to lift myself up. I'm letting you know what God has done through this man and this woman and some others is here today. And how he allowed me to go to prison and how we have walked the streets encouraging people. This man knows. Encouraging people. And then, as we were building this building, my God, after we got building this building, the enemy even used me. How the enemy came in and tried to tear us apart. But I say maybe about 25 to 35% of it was me. But I'll tell you one thing, the other part was people. Coming in wanting to do things their way. I've always learned I learned this from my adopted mother, how to respect and love people. We might disagree, but there's such a thing as respect. There's such a thing as love. If I go into your home And this young lady, she keeps at home looking at, I go in your home. I'm not going to go in your home and tell you and Deacon Tar, y'all at the mood, fating your mood, you got to do this a different way here. No, you don't do that. I go to your home, I'm going to respect this way. Maybe I might see some things I don't like or I would do differently, but that's between you and God. No suffering too severe. No love too strong. How many of you love those who have hated you and can't stand you? No love too strong. But you just don't understand. I don't need to understand. What did God tell us to do?
Amen.
That's what he said. He said, love your enemies. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why God said, I'm going to leave you a helper, because he knew this pitiful man couldn't do it by himself. I'm leaving you a helper so he can help you when you start thinking wrong. You want to do things your way and convict me when I'm wrong. See, God has a great plan.
Yes, he does.
But so many of the pulpits in Washington, D.C., and all these books and more books and more books, and you better be careful what you read, because there's some deception out here, people, big time, trying to get you off track. I know what I'm talking about. No love too strong. No labor too hard. No labor too hard. Do you know what labor is? Laboring in the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking about leaders. Being a leader is not an easy task. But God gives me strength. God gives us strength. God gives some of the leaders in this church strength. See, no labor too hard. Have to get up early in the morning. Sometimes my wife gets to get up early in the morning, open up the daycare. She got to open up the daycare. Then she got to go home and put up with me. Then she got to practice till we get an organist. Then she got to come in and play the organ, which she does anoint. That's why the anointing, there's something about that anointing. That Anna Green sitting over there. My God, the anointing. See, I'm just saying. Some people have gotten on me. Well, you're the pastor, you shouldn't have to do this. Listen. I am a servant of God. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. I'm not worried about being served. I'm going to be a servant. And God, whatever I do, God's got a great reward and plan waiting for me. I might not get it. I'm not worried. Listen, I'm no different than anybody. It's nice when sometimes people come to you, oh, Pastor, I really enjoyed it. I like it, and I want you to be encouraged. Sometimes people do that. That's fine. I'm human just like anybody else. But if I never get it from a human on this earth, my dad is patting me on my back. So many times people are walking around looking for attention and want somebody to pity them and live in a pity party. You know, some people even get sick. So something that God allows them to get sick. And while they're sick, they want this. And want to be pitied. You'd be surprised. I was talking to someone a while ago before service. If you just stand up, and I'm not going to say that I don't have my moments. I'm going to share something with the church today, but not today, but later on. God has blessed this man as far as the physical illness since 1998, and he's still blessing me. Hallelujah. And you know what? And you know what's so, and you know what's so beautiful? An immortal soul is beyond all price. Paul was put in prison. Paul had a thorn. I don't know what your thorn is. All right? All these things, and in a lot of cases, when you look in the New Testament, God scattered, because of sin, God scattered his people. He scattered Paul, not because necessarily because of the sin, but Paul carried the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a good example of that, Lord. No labor too hard. I go to an alternative doctor, and I'm going to tell you something. And I carry my tracts, I carry my Bible. And I'm sitting in the office, and people know I'm from the lower part of Delaware. And so I was talking to one of the people at the desk, and they said, when's the last time you've been down Delaware? And so when she said Delaware, and this lady sitting on this wonderful, young, little Caucasian lady, And she, oh, you're from Delaware? She said, my fiance and I, we go down to Delaware too. So I said, good, good. I said, I just said, be encouraged. So I went on, did what I had to do. So I was there for about half an hour. So I looked around and she was crying. And I said, what's wrong? She said, and she was about 24, 25 in that range, gauge. I have a serious disease and I got a big test so I can get my master's degree. And I don't think I'm gonna make it. I said, yes, you are. I said, in the name of Jesus, she didn't even know whether I was Christian. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're gonna make it. And she said, do you think that? I said, you're going to make it. And then I have a tract that I carry, peace of mind. And I gave that to her and I walked away and guess what? I didn't see her. And that was last October. Christmas, I got this big card. And it says, you don't know me. You might not remember me. But I thank God for how you helped me. I have my master's degree now. And I have, see, what am I saying? God scattered me up there in Collinswood. He's scattering you on your job. And if you have a job, don't get upset and get mad. I'm sick of this job. They don't treat me right. They don't treat me right, and I ain't gonna, no way in the world. Well, God has, if you're a Christian, God has you allowed you to be there for a reason.
That's
are you praying before you leave home in the morning?
Oh, that's it.
Are you seeking the Lord before you leave home in the morning?
Amen.
Or are you just, and most people get up in the morning, most people get up, and you know what? Maybe every once in a while I might feel this way, but most Lord always lets me up. Most people get up in the morning, oh, Lord, here we go again. Here we go again. And they get up. And then they go to the bathroom. And then they get up. And I don't feel like going to work today. I got to fool with these people. No. If you are a born again Christian, you can get up every morning and say, God, this is a day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm not just standing here. I've had my moments, but I tell you what, for years, I guess living on a farm dad making me get up early in the morning before I went to elementary school, help him on the farm and all these types of things. I've been an early morning person, and every morning, I'm no super saint, but I tell you one thing, I've learned this. The Bible's not about do's and don'ts. The Bible's about helping us try to get closer to Jesus Christ. It's simple as that, simple as that. And God is real, people. And that last part, one of those parts said, no labor too hard, no expense too large. Oops. No expense too large. Here's another thing. Now see, when I met my wife, she make an attempt to pair a tie. I hated it. And I used to hear my father say, I ain't giving that preacher my menace, my money. And my father had his own business, and that man made money. I mean, he made, in the 50s, he made money. And that money didn't help me through college either. I didn't get a dime of it. But anyway, and that's all right.
And
but anyway, and you know what? Whew, Lord, have mercy. Bear with me, people. Whew. God. After I came, rededicated my life, I said, I'm going to try Jesus. And then I got rededicated my life in Camden. And I never will forget, I was sitting in the back. Even then, I was half high. But I was tired. Some of you sitting out here right now, you're tired. Tired. And so what happened was, after I got saved and rededicated my life, I decided about a year later to lock into God's system financially. I said, I'm going to try this tithes and this offering. See, most people that go to a building on Sunday, they don't pay no tithes and offering. Then they wonder why they struggle. And let me say this. I'm not against a human being in Washington, D.C., from the White House to the Congress. But Washington don't have your answer.
That's right.
And you better stop making gods out of people in Washington and start doing like God told us to do. Get up and find a job and work, 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 work. And I'm not talking about those people who have lost their jobs and struggling and trying to make it. I met some people in somewhere in Camden a while back, and they were living outside. I'm not talking about them. I've seen professional people that lost their jobs. I'm talking about these people that, and I don't blame them all together, but the government has made them lazy. Yeah. Lazy. And I'll tell you now, it's not going to work. I'm not against helping the poor people, helping people that need it. But there are people that's healthy. And you know what? We have so much pride that we don't want to work and get our hands dirty. We want to start at the top, way up here. We want to start up here first so people can see me. No, you might have to start down here. You might have to start down here working down here. Did you get the message? Work at McDonald's. Do whatever you got to do. And work your way up. I know what I'm talking about. And when I locked into God's system, paying my tithes and offering. And you know what? You don't have to believe me. That's all right. Everything I'm talking about is right there in that Bible. And when I locked into God's system, paying my tithes and offering, and I'm gonna soon be finished. And I remember, she worked at RCA. I'm working over there, the school district over in Deptford. And I remember, and the time when she had to quit RCA, I don't think I had come back to the Lord then. And I had a little small pension, compensation from the government for Vietnam War. And that stopped. And it was just my paycheck. And you know what I did? I got me a job, part-time job. I found me some jobs. Cleaning. I've worked on the garbage truck. I've done a little bit of everything. Are you listening to me? I've cleaned, when I lived in Camden, I've got little jobs cleaning out basements for one of the mayors. I think it was not mayor, but the judge, his name was King, cleaning out his basement, making money, making this extra money. But we live in a society, and I'm not saying, sure, jobs might be hard to find, but if you can find a job, if you get up off your fanny, see, a lot of times we don't use the muscles like we should. Now I'm gonna tell you something. Good Lord mercy. I'm gonna say, y'all, I hope nobody, you men that's in the church, guard me out of here. You guard me out of here today, because some people, what's he talking about? But let me tell you something. And what I'm telling you today, I'm putting the truth out there. I'm not downing anybody because you're not working. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you can't stay in that position. I worked in a pharmacy in Fairview in Camden for 2 summers until I was held up years ago. And I never will forget it. And I used to have to take prescriptions to the elderly and to the women who had babies. And when I walked, and they were on welfare. And when I would take a knock on the door, my God, and I remember Sister Ingram and I, we kept our living room suit for years, couldn't afford to get a living room suit. And I walk into some of these homes, and those people on welfare, and oh, they were so, it was so nice. I said, Lord, have, then I've seen men go out the back door early in the morning. All these types of things. See, Satan's slick.
Yes, he is.
Using people. And I'll tell you what. I kept that job. I worked that job. I've done all kinds of things to try to make it in life for my family, for my family, for my family. I wasn't looking for handouts. I'm living right now off of my pension that I put money off into. I'm living off my Social Security right now, okay? And I'm taking a salary. I'm not on salary. I get a little something each week from the church, all right? I'm getting ready to turn that over to the church in the very near future. What am I saying? I'm not in this for, Sister Ingram's not in it for money. But because you know why? I know my God's going to take care of me. Because I'm going to tell you something. I remember when she quit her job, and not quit her job, but because of illness, she had to stop working. And she was on a disability for a while. That was cut off. And it was just my check. And I learned, before I paid my bills, I sat down at my desk and paid. And the first check I wrote out was my tithes and offerings. And I've been doing that for about 35 years. I don't care how many bills I had, how much was bill, how much I was behind, I paid my tithes and offering. And it is a blessing behind it. No expense too large, but that it is worth it in the effort spent in to win a soul. The devil hates souls. He hates you. And he's an angel of light. He comes as an angel. He's a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. And he's got this thing out here in the world. It's painted up so wonderful and so nice. And let me tell you something. The Antichrist spirit is here. Get yourself ready. Jesus is, I feel Jesus. God's getting ready to tap Jesus on the shoulder. Go on down and get my people out of here. I really feel that. And as I've said many, many times, Israel is God's prophetic time clock. Look what's happening. Look what's getting ready to happen. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in fear. But I tell you what, if God is who he is, and he is who he is, because I know what he has done for this man, and he's yet doing for me. And I'm going through some things right now, but that's all right. That's a part of life. He said, trials and tribulations you're going to have. He said, but be good cheer. Be a good cheer. He said, I've overcome it for you. He overcame it when he hung there on that cross, people. And I want each one of you to be encouraged. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think people think we're all going to live forever. We're not going to live beyond. But while we're living on this, what can we be doing to help somebody else, to encourage somebody else? I don't care what color they are. I don't care what color they are. I'm so sick and tired of this black and white and Spanish movement, hatred and all that. I'm sick of it. In the name of Jesus, the devil's a liar.
Yes,
and we call ourselves Christians. We're Christians. We're supposed to love people.
That's right.
I've always been and always will be there. And I thank God for my adopted mother for that. Because I remember the things that she used to tell me when she used to go in the kitchens and work and do all these things. She said, she always tell me, Joe, you always try to love everybody. She always told me that. And I remember that was a little boy. So what am I saying? I want each one of you to be encouraged. And you know what? Because Jesus lives, people. If he takes me tomorrow, I want you to get this. Because Jesus lives, you can face anything. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. I believe most male and female, most Christians are walking around in fear. Not the fear of God, but the one, oh, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? Listen, Lord. What did I do with it? Listen to this. That's Psalms 46. And I meant to go into that, but I didn't get out. That Psalms 46. Be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
Be still and know that I'm God. And listen, the fear of mountains and cities. This is Psalm 46. You can read it when you get home. The fear of cities suddenly coming into the sea as a result of nuclear blasts haunts many people today. Yes, we're going to have a war. It's coming. That third war is coming, but we'll be out of here, people.
Yeah.
But the psalmist, Psalm 46, says that even if the world ends, listen now, even if the world ends, we need not fear in the face of Lord, utter destruction. That person who wrote that Psalm 46 expressed a quiet confidence in God's ability to save him. It seems impossible. It seems impossible to consider the end of the world without becoming consumed by fear. But the Bible is clear. God is our refuge.
Yes,
even in the face of total destruction. He is not merely a temporary retreat. He is our eternal refuge and can provide strength in every circumstances. Yes. And when I talk about strength, I'm not talking about these and lifting. My strength he gives me in my soul.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Everybody stand. Be encouraged. I'm going to say it again. Every one of you, be encouraged.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you. And don't beat yourself. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I don't care what you're into now, what you're doing, if you haven't given your heart, and maybe some of you might feel like you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. You know what? Since I've been in this pulpit, I've had to rededicate my life. I'm no different than anybody else. But I've learned, see, as you get older, you learn. That's why I have learned to be patient with people, especially with alcoholics, etc., druggists. I'm patient with them. I don't get upset with them. And stop judging people on the basis. You know, when I worked in the school, so many teachers would come to me, Joe, you might get this one this year. You might get that one next year. You know, they're terrible. I'm telling you, they're terrible and all that. And I got to the point, I didn't even go to the teacher's room anymore for years. I just go in and get my mail and they come on out. But let me tell you something. When the youth would come into my classroom, and I mean I had some troubled ones. Many of them were foster kids. Many of them had no father. A lot of times I would go into the neighborhood during the marking period, and me and another person, and go into homes. And then I saw why the children were acting the way they were acting. Dad was crazy. Some mothers were crazy, ignoring their children. My God. That's why I admire fathers, men who will be real and really try to do their best to raise their children in Christ. Amen. In Christ. And I pray for every mother who has to raise children by yourself. I lift you up in prayer right now in the name of Jesus because of deadbeat dads leaving. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for being with us when trouble comes. Thank you for being there, dear God, when we're humiliated and going through suffering. Thank you, Father God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can love those who come up against us. Thank you, Father, for strength as we labor for kingdom building. Thank you, Father, for the money. Sometimes we have to sacrifice money. Sometimes we paid our tithes and offering, but sometimes we have to go even beyond that. Father, I pray that every soul that came through that door, saved, unsaved, weak or strong, Father God, I pray that they would take the word. No, I'm not the greatest who puts it out there, but I'm not an eloquent, Father, but you see that you use me just the way you use me. And I thank you for that. And Father, I pray because there's some people here that really, they know that they need to rededicate their life. In the name of Jesus, they need to rededicate their life, and they're not. And Father, they're playing games with you, and I bind those spirits, those sexual sins, and Father, alcoholism, the drugs, covetousness. Oh God. Oh Ropa Shanda Lolo Shanda. Oh Ria Korea Shanda. Oh Mama Koreanda de Shikorombo. Oh Romo Korea Shay. And Father, I lift up every child, every baby that's here today. Every child. And Father, I pray that the parent or parents will have a devotions in their home to teach their children your word, because our public schools have become a Babylon. Oh, ropo shikorondo. Harabo koranda di shikorombo. Thank you, Father. Every foster child, children that are being abused. Oh, Jesus. Boys and girls, we lift them up to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Ha ha ha.
Hallelujah. Lift up marriages to you. Lift up marriages. Devil, you're continuing. You've done a good job trying to tear marriages apart. But you're a liar in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, I thank you. I know our enemy, our adversary, he doesn't want mom and daddy to be together. One doesn't want them to raise the children because he can, if that can happen, he can get the children as they continue to grow older. Devil, you're a liar. No, I'm not afraid of you. I've got my Jesus. My Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, forgive us when we grieve your spirit, grieve you. Help us not to be enslaved with our sin nature. We all have it, but help us not to be enslaved by it, dear God. Thank you for helping us with our struggles. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone...